In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever returned after being away for a long time and it feels like the whole trip was just sort of a dream? You were gone a long time, but back home, everything's pretty much the same. As I sit by the fire in my little house, it sort of feels like nothing has changed. And yet, everything has changed. Everything. My name is Joseph. I live in a little village called Nazareth, about 25 miles west of the Sea of Galilee, up in the hills. I work construction by trade. A couple of years ago, I was sitting right here. My life is all planned out. I'm engaged to be married to a girl named Mary. We've been engaged since we were kids, and now we've grown up. The time's come to get married. I built this little house here and look forward to bringing Mary home as my wife and raising a family. But then I find out that Mary's pregnant. It's devastating news. I don't know who the father is, but I know that it's not me. There's a guy in the village I know. He once told me that if his fiance got pregnant from another guy, he would drag her out into the village square and humiliate her and stone her to death. I could never do anything like that to Mary. One sin should not lead to another. I figure I'll just break things off quietly and then slink back to my house and lick my wounds with my tail between my legs. That's my plan when I lay down to sleep. That night, a messenger from God appears to me in a dream and tells me, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Isaiah the prophet once wrote, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. I don't know what to think. This baby inside Mary is God with us. This baby is from the Holy Spirit. His name will be Jesus. Jesus is the Greek for the Hebrew name Yahshua, which means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. I'm not completely sure what's going on, but I know I should do what God tells me to do. So I bring Mary home as my wife, but we wait to consummate the marriage until after the baby's born. I think things will be okay, but it's a pretty rough time for both of us. Because soon the whole village finds out that Mary's pregnant. They all assume they know what happened, and I can feel the dirty looks as we go to the market. But at least we have each other to lean on for love and support. And we have that miracle baby growing inside of Mary to look forward to. But then Mary tells me she has to go away for a while. Her relative, Elizabeth, an old woman who has never had children, is pregnant. That's crazy. But then my virgin wife is pregnant. God works in mysterious ways. Mary leaves me for 3 months to endure all the dirty looks alone. And they become more intense as the rumors start to swirl that Mary has left me for good. But Mary comes home, and we settle in waiting for the birth of Jesus. When I put my hand on her belly, I can feel him squirming around inside. I can't wait to meet him. And then the whole world's thrown into turmoil. Word reaches all the way to the little village of Nazareth from Rome. The emperor, Caesar Augustus, is ordering everyone to their hometowns to be counted so Rome can better tax us. Now I live in Nazareth, but I'm a descendant of King David. Not that that helps me much these days. But being from the line of David, Mary and I need to go to Bethlehem, the city of David. It's not fair. Mary's really pregnant. She's having trouble getting around. She has trouble sleeping at night because the baby's decided that's the time to be active. Now we have to walk 90 miles to get to Bethlehem. Mary is getting ready to give birth. I don't have any money to travel. This whole thing couldn't have come at a worse time, but the emperor says to go, so we go. It's a long walk. It takes us many days. The roads are crowded with all the people traveling due to the census. Bethlehem is crowded. I have family here, so we find a place to stay, but we're packed in pretty tight. While we're there, Mary goes into labor, and then the women take over, helping her. They know all about the delivering baby stuff. Jesus is born, but we're unprepared. Someone finds some rags to wrap him up in, but there's no bed. The cradle I made for him is back home in Nazareth. But someone comes up with an idea. They shoo the animals away from the feed trough, clean it out, put in some fresh straw and a blanket, and we lay this miracle baby there on a humble bed of straw in a manger. I'm a proud papa, even if I'm not the real daddy. I'm so happy I could just burst. I still don't fully understand what all is going on with this baby and what the future holds. But tonight, things are good. Soon there comes a knock at the door. Outside is a group of rough-and-tumble shepherds who are super excited, and they ask if we know anything about a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Someone told them that there was a woman here who was ready to give birth. We all look at each other. How would they know? We invite them in, bring them over to the baby Jesus, and they tell us this incredible story about how an angel appeared to them in the fields outside of Bethlehem. The angel told them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then they said, a whole army of angels sang about glory to God and peace on earth. It's all so crazy. Christ, the Lord. Christos, it's Greek for the Hebrew Messiah. Could it be? Is my stepson the long-awaited anointed one who has come to save the children of Israel? The others there just shake their heads at this shepherd's crazy tale, but Mary and I know more of what's going on. And I'm pretty sure Mary knows even more than I do. She just smiles knowingly while she feeds the baby. The shepherds leave, but they go all around Bethlehem telling people about the baby Jesus and the angel. We have Jesus circumcised on his 8th day of life. Give him the name Jesus. After 40 days, we take him to the temple for Mary's purification and to redeem Jesus as the firstborn, remembering God passing over the Israelites' houses in Egypt, marked with the blood of the Lamb, but killing the firstborn of the Egyptians. While we're at the temple, we meet these two people who are there waiting for Jesus to come. It's so strange, but it's another confirmation that our baby is no ordinary baby. The one guy holds the baby and says, now he has been set free. But then he has this warning. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The shepherds told us that the angels sang about peace on earth. But this peace may not be what people are expecting. This older lady's there also. She, like the shepherds, starts telling everybody about who Jesus is. Days pass, weeks pass. We visit with family as we wait for the census to be finished. And then sometime later, we get another strange visit. These peculiar magi, wizards or astrologers or something from somewhere in the east, they appear at the door saying they have been following a star which is leading them to the one born king of the Jews, and the star has stopped over our house. They come into the house and they worship the baby as if he's a king or a god or something. They present the baby with gifts fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They tell us that they've been to Jerusalem to inquire about the baby. They even talk to King Herod, who wants them to go back to Jerusalem, tell him where the baby is, so he can also come and worship. This is all way too much. We're just humble folks from Nazareth. Now the king of Israel wants to come visit. That's crazy. That night I wake up to some strange noise. I look outside and I see the magi sneaking out in the middle of the night. The strange thing is that Jerusalem is to the north and the magi are traveling east. I lay back down to sleep. And again an angel of the Lord appears to me in a dream and tells me, "Rise. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Whoa. Maybe that's why the Magi snuck off to the east. You hear people complain now and again how God just isn't talking to people anymore. It's been hundreds of years. I tell you what, God sending you messages does not make life easy. I quickly get up and get dressed. I wake Mary up, who gets the baby ready. I whisper to her that we need to flee to Egypt, and we need to do it now, because God said to do it, and if God says to do it, then you should do it. I wonder for a moment, what are we going to do for money? But then I remember the Magi's gifts. God works in mysterious ways. We quietly slip out of town and begin our 400-mile walk to Egypt. There's not much to say about Egypt. It's hard being a stranger in a strange land. I try to stay close to Mary and Jesus as we lay low, try not to be noticed. I'm not a soldier or a spy. I'm a carpenter from Nazareth, and King Herod and all his men are hunting my child. I don't know who I can trust, so I don't trust anyone. We live off the Magi's gifts and we get by, but it's very lonely being that far from family. At least we have each other, and it's great getting to watch Jesus grow, getting his teeth, starting to stand and walk. After a while, another angel appears to me in a dream to tell me that King Herod is dead and we can return home. So we gather our few belongings and we begin the 400-mile walk back to Israel. We stop in Bethlehem and think about staying there for a while, but Herod's son Archelaus is now king in Jerusalem, and he's crazier and more ruthless than his father. So we keep going the 90 miles more back to Nazareth. While we're in Bethlehem, though, we hear horrifying news. Right after we left Bethlehem the first time, Herod sent his soldiers into town and they went house to house, mercilessly slaughtering every baby boy from infants to toddlers. The families are still in shock. They look at me with a look that I think means, "You knew what was going to happen, so you left, but you didn't warn us." I didn't know what Herod would do. I have no words of comfort. Now we're Now we're finally back home in our little house in Nazareth. For how long? Only God knows. Mary just put Jesus to bed. I have a moment to sit by the fire and ponder all that's happened. I thought I had my life planned out, but God had different ideas. Unexplainedly, he chose me to protect God with us. Since that first visit from an angel, life has not been easy, but it has been blessed. There are powerful people who hate my little son, and yet the Lord provides what we need. He chose me to help take care of the Messiah who has come to save his people. The thought of that is overwhelming. I am so not worthy. Even more overwhelming is that this little guy, who seems so helpless, asleep in his bed, this little guy is my Savior. He's come to save me from my sin. Save me and save you and save all his people. I don't know how it'll all work out, but I'm confident it won't happen the way people think it should. Our little boy is God with us to save us from our sins, but so far he has not brought glory the way the world thinks of glory. I don't know what's going to come next, but I'll do my best to do what God tells me to do and rejoice that the Messiah, the Savior, has come in the person of my stepson. Sitting here in the house, it almost seems like the past couple of years are just a dream, that everything's just the same. But praise God, everything has changed. God sent his son, my son, to save me from my sins, to save you from your sins. This is the greatest gift of all time. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise for prayers.